Bean stayed as quiet as possible during the school sessions, never speaking up and never giving an answer even when Sister Carlotta tried to insist. He knew that it wouldn't be good for him to let anyone know that he could already read and do numbers, nor that he could understand every language spoken in the street, picking up new languages the way other children picked up stones. Whatever Sister Carlotta was doing, whatever gifts she had to bestow, if it ever seemed to the other children that Bean was trying to show them up, trying to get ahead of them, he knew that he would not be back for another day of school. And even though she mostly taught things he already knew how to do, in her conversation there were many hints of a wider world, of great knowledge and wisdom. No adult had ever taken the time to speak to them like this, and he luxuriated in the sound of high language well spoken. When she taught, it was in IF Common, of course, that being the language of the street, but since many of the children had also learned Dutch, and some were even native Dutch speakers, she would often explain hard points in that language. When she was frustrated, though, and muttered under her breath, that was in Spanish, the language of the merchants of Jonker Franstraat, and he tried to piece together the meanings of new words from her muttering. Her knowledge was a banquet, and if he remained quiet enough, he would be able to stay and feast. School had only been going for a week, however, when he made a mistake. She passed out papers to them, and they had writing on them. Bean read his paper at once. It was a pretest, and the instruction said to circle the right answers to each question. So he began circling answers and was halfway down the page when he realized that the entire group had fallen silent. They were all looking at him because Sister Carlotta was looking at him. "What are you doing, Bean?" she asked. "I haven't even told you what to do yet. Please give me your paper." Stupid, inattentive, careless. "If you die for this, Bean, you deserve it." He handed her the paper. She looked at it, then looked back at him very closely. "Finish it," she said. He took the paper back from her hand. His pencil hovered over the page. He pretended to be struggling with the answer. "You did the first 15 in about a minute and a half," said Sister Carlotta. "Please don't expect me to believe that you're suddenly having a hard time with the next question." Her voice was dry and sarcastic. "I can't do it," he said. "I was just playing anyway." "Don't lie to me," said Carlotta. "Do the rest." He gave up and did them all. It didn't take long. They were easy. He handed her the paper. She glanced over it and said nothing. "I hope the rest of you will wait until I finish the instructions and read you the questions. If you try to guess at what the hard words are, you'll get all the answers wrong." Then she proceeded to read each question and all the possible answers out loud. Only then could the other children set their marks on the papers. Sister Carlotta didn't say another thing to call attention to Bean after that, but the damage was done. As soon as school was over, Sergeant came over to Bean. "So you can read," he said. Bean shrugged. "You've been lying to us," said Sergeant. "Never said I couldn't. Showed us all up. How come you didn't teach us?" "Because I was trying to survive," Bean said silently. "Because I didn't want to remind Ashiel that I was the smart one who thought up the original plan that got him this family. If he remembers that, he'll also remember who it was who told Poke to kill him." The only answer he actually gave was a shrug. "Don't like it when somebody holds out on us." Sergeant nudged him with a foot. Bean did not have to be given a map. He got up and jogged away from the group. School was out for him. Maybe breakfast, too. He'd have to wait till morning to find that out. He spent the afternoon alone on the streets. He had to be careful. As the smallest and least important of Ashiel's family, he might be overlooked. But it was more likely that those who hated Ashiel would have taken special notice of Bean as one of the most memorable. They might take it into their heads that killing Bean or beating him to paste and leaving him would make a dandy warning to Ashiel that he was still resented, even though life was better for everybody. Bean knew there were plenty of bullies who felt that way, especially the ones who weren't able to maintain a family because they kept being too mean with the little children. The little ones learned quickly that when a papa got too nasty, they could punish him by leaving him alone at breakfast and attaching themselves to some other family. They would eat before him. They would have someone else's protection from him. He would eat last. If they ran out of food, he would get nothing, and Helga wouldn't even mind because he wasn't a papa. He wasn't watching out for little ones. So those bullies, those marginal ones, they hated the way things worked these days, and they didn't forget that it was Ashiel who had changed it all. Nor could they go to some other kitchen. The word had spread among the adults who gave out food, and now all the kitchens had a rule that groups with little children got to be first in line. If you couldn't hold on to a family, you could get pretty hungry. And nobody looked up to you. Still, Bean couldn't resist trying to get close enough to some of the other families to hear their talk, find out how the other groups worked. The answer was easy to learn. They didn't work all that well. Ashiel really was a good leader. That sharing of bread? None of the other groups did that. But there was a lot of punishing, the bully smacking kids who didn't do what he wanted, taking their bread away from them because they didn't do something or didn't do it quickly enough. Poke had chosen right, after all. By dumb luck, or maybe she wasn't all that stupid. Because she had picked not just the weakest bully, the easiest to beat, but also the smartest, the one who understood how to win and hold the loyalty of others. All Ashiel had ever needed was the chance. Except that Ashiel still didn't share her bread, and now she was beginning to realize that this was a bad thing, not a good one. Bean could see it in her face when she watched the others do the ritual of sharing with Ashiel. Because he got soup now. Helga brought it to him at the door. He took much smaller pieces, and instead of biting them off, he tore them and ate them with a smile. Poke never got that smile from him. Ashiel was never going to forgive her, and Bean could see that she was beginning to feel the pain of that. For she loved Ashiel now, too, the way the other children did, and the way he kept her apart from the others was a kind of cruelty. Maybe that's enough for him, thought Bean. Maybe that's his whole vengeance. Bean happened to be curled up behind a newsstand when several bullies began a conversation near him. He's full of brag about how Ashiel is going to pay for what he did. Oh, right. Ulysses is going to punish him, right. Well, maybe not directly. Ashiel and his stupid family will just take him apart. And this time they won't aim for his chest. He said so, didn't he? Break open his head and put his brains on the street. That's what Ashiel will do. He's still just a cripple. Ashiel gets away with everything. Give it up. I'm hoping Ulysses does it. Kills him, flat out. And then none of us take in any of his bastards. You got that? Nobody takes them in. Let them all die. Put them all in the river. The talk went on that way until the boys drifted away from the newsstand. Then Bean got up and went in search of Ashiel.